Welcome. You have arrived at the Taboo podcast series from Vegas. The late Sam Glass was a resident of the city of Las Vegas, and he wrote using the pseudonym of Don Norman. This is a Taboo audio story he wrote called Moonlight. This narrated tale is a re-release of a podcast episode from 2023 in the Taboo podcast Vegas.
Chuck Strasser came into the gay men's bar known as the Bisexual last Friday on my shift at about 11:30. Ordinarily, this would be an event of no great significance. Lots of my friends stop by to dish the dirt or bullshit on weekends. When I'm not busy, which is seldom a problem, it makes the time go by faster. But Chuck is someone I've had a considerable crush on for some time now. He's one of these tall, broad, dark-haired, corn-fed boys from the Midwest who lost his innocence and his baby fat simultaneously when he moved to the big bad city. Fresh country meat is a hard-won commodity these days. And I figured from the first moment I met him, Chuck wouldn't be out on the market for long. He wasn't. An old fuck buddy of mine named Stuart Bakersfield, a well-known game player and heartbreaker, took one look at Chuck and fell so damn hard. You've probably seen Stu before. Remember that swarthy, smooth muscular dancer with the ass of death and the fetching features of a present-day version of Mephistopheles? The twinkle in those green eyes of his as he ran his big hands over that baby-oiled torso shook that incredibly edible ass and dared you to park your dollar bills, and maybe a few fingers, into his straining G-string. Yeah, that guy. Stu won several amateur competitions at various gay men's bars locally. He never really needed the extra cash the prize money brought. Stu just won cash as a lark. By day he worked as a land consultant for a large information brokerage company and made a hefty salary. But Stu liked to treat life the way he liked to play with that oversized cock of his in his performances for the pleasure of men. The mutually smitten couple of Stu and Chuck had a whirlwind romance for 2 years that was so sweet it had all of us fighting our gag reflexes on a fairly regular basis. They became permanently joined at the hip, so that on the few rare occasions they ventured out, you'd never see one without the other. Then came a nasty turn. Stu was killed. He was flying his twin-engine Piper Cub in the Colorado Rockies. And that was the last of him. It took a rescue team close to a week to reach the crash site on the side of a steep mountain. His body was never found. After the funeral, and once Stu's considerable assets had been administered through his estate, Chuck virtually dropped off of the face of the earth. His phone was disconnected, he quit his job, and none of the instructors at the Body Zone, his second home, saw him for about a month. The Chuck that greeted me last weekend with a listless wave and a whisper of a smile was anything but the cheery, vibrant stud muffin I was used to seeing. His boyish face was pale and drawn, his beard was one hairy mess. The gray sweats he had fumbled into billowed on his usually husky, meaty frame, as if Chuck had lost quite a bit of weight very quickly. I nearly dropped the draft beer I was drawing when he dragged himself up to the counter. "Hey Jack," he said in a cracked voice. "Jesus," I cried out in shock. "Chuck, you vanished into thin air." Everyone was worried. "Where the hell have you been? You look like shit." Chuck motioned to tell me he wanted a mug of beer. One mug was followed by another. Chuck told me, "I once knew the difference between fantasy and reality. If I still can tell the difference, I want to be able to drown that skill here tonight with beer." I took Chuck to the back storage room. "We haven't seen you since the funeral, and you haven't tried to get in touch with anybody. Tell me what's wrong." Chuck burst into tears, great heaving sobs shaking him to the core as he collapsed into my arms. My fantasies came true as I felt his body pressed against mine. But this was hardly the time to think about how many boners I'd sprung anticipating this moment. Chuck stammered as he spoke. His sobs descending into sniffles, I couldn't imagine what life would be like without Stu. I didn't want to imagine it, didn't want to know. But it hurt so bad. So goddamn bad to walk through that empty house and come across something that belonged to him, or remember the way he'd stood by a window or laughed at some lame joke I'd made. All I could do was nod to show my support. But honestly, I was afraid I would say the wrong thing to Chuck. It started happening about a week and a half after the funeral. One night, I dreamed about that vacation Stu and I took in the Catskills a couple of years back, about how we made love up in the mountains, how we sat there and I held him in my arms while we watched the sunset. Chuck paused, hugging himself as if he were hugging his lost lover, his eyes closed, tears streaming down his face as he relived that beautiful memory. For one moment, he almost had me reduced to tears. I dreamed about Stu. I wished with all my heart that he was here with me, that he wouldn't leave me alone, and that one day Stu would come back for me somehow. And suddenly Chuck looked at me, eyes wide and scary. He whispered to me. That's what happened. He came back. Whoa, 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 wait a minute, time out, I laughed nervously, shaking my head incredulously. Let me see if I follow. Are you trying to tell me that you wished Stu back from the afterlife, and now he's here? There's more, Chuck moaned, clutching at my arm as if he were grabbing for the last shreds of his sanity, which I could totally believe he was. Stu told me he wants me to go with him. And I don't want to die, man, but I love him so much, the next time he comes for me, I just, might, go. Taking Chuck by his wide shoulders, I sat him down gently on a Jim Beam crate in that storage room. Now hear this, sailor, I said to Chuck, half-kiddingly. This is not a request, and it's not a drill. It's a direct order from the captain, no arguments. I'm going to buy you dinner after the shift, and then we're going back to my place, where you will shit, shower, shave and sleep. Then tomorrow, we are going to get you some capable help. I'm not leaving you alone tonight, and that's final. Chuck deferred to me. I guided him the 3 flights of stairs up to my place, where as soon as we were in, I grabbed a towel for him from the linen closet, shoved it into his hands, and pushed him in the direction of my bathroom. 1 half-hour-long shower later, Chuck came out wrapped in a towel, still groggy, but looking a lot more like the Chuck I knew and lusted after. A few pounds lighter, that lean, WWF wrestler's bod was still intact, and I wondered if it might be a good idea to make a glass of ice water in the kitchen to stick my dick in. Cursing and scolding my overactive libido, I folded down the sleeper sofa and threw on some sheets. I gave Chuck one of my old college workout shorts to sleep in. Big mistake, while they were baggy on me, they hugged his generous cakes like a second skin, so when he flopped down on the sofa and fell asleep almost immediately, those luscious, cotton-covered mounds beckoned like fresh grapefruit, desperate to be squeezed and eaten. I forced myself back to my room, for the comfort of my left hand and a porn video. More tired than I thought I was, as soon as my head hit the pillow, I was deep in sleep. At 3:30 that early Saturday morning, sounds coming from my living room woke me up. The little creaks the sofa made, the low murmurs and growls, the occasional sound of a hand slapping hot flesh, there was no mistaking what all that added up to. Chuck may have been a friend in need and I wasn't going to take advantage of him, but who said I couldn't watch a hot stud jerking off while he watched a video on my TV and maybe bust a nut or two myself? Very quietly, I opened my door a crack and peeked out into my living room. I tried to make sense of what I was seeing. There was no video. The TV was turned off. I saw Chuck on his back, legs up in the air as if someone were plowing his ass pretty good. He supported his head with one hand, while the other was where he might have been stroking and grabbing at the back of the top who was fucking him, but there was nothing there. The sofa faces my living room window, which opens out onto the street. There was a beautiful, full August moon out, which I hadn't had the chance to notice before. The curtains were only drawn partway, allowing a wide shaft of moonlight to spill over the writhing body of my friend. Clouds temporarily blocked the moon began to slide silently aside, allowing the lunar rays to flood into my living room suddenly and dramatically. I felt my heart palpitate wildly with a thrill of lust and adrenaline-laced terror. The moonlight clearly revealed the figure of a man on top of Chuck, their bodies fitting together snugly and even poetically. I thought I saw a face buried in Chuck's neck, his strong shoulders supporting Chuck's legs as his hips pistoned with fluid grace into that beautiful, willing ass. One big hand was nestled in the space between their bellies, and I could see the muscles in the ghostly stranger's forearm working as he pumped Chuck's meaty cock to the same rhythm he used to plow into him. The shadowy figure raised his ghostly head and kissed Chuck. With his eyes closed, his face a mixed mask of fear, lust, and joy at the familiarity of the sensations he was feeling, Chuck responded by opening his mouth to kiss the ghost. In the glow of moonlight, those Mephistophelian features were unmistakable. His picture was still on the mantelpiece at the house. Him standing in front of the gleaming new Harley that Chuck had bought him on his birthday, almost a year to the day before the plane crash, a giant, big-dicked stud in tight leather pants and engineer boots, leather jacket open to reveal that smooth, sculpted chest beneath it, his bearded face grinning from ear to ear, that devilish, mischievous twinkle in his startling green eyes. Chuck had not been lying. He spoke the truth to me in the storage room at the bar. Stu had come back from the dead. Then the ghost spoke to me. The voice I heard didn't so much resonate in my ears as it did inside my screwed-up head. "Didn't your mama tell you it's not polite to stare? Come on over here and join the party I've started." I watched in dumb horror as my bare feet began to move toward the living room, without my brain ever having asked them to. For a moment I had a clear and terrible vision of my feet separating from my legs with a single, bloodless tug, like pulling apart large pieces of warm taffy while they walked on into oblivion against my will. Stu looked every bit as hot as he had been before the plane crash. If anything, his encounter with the other side made him look better than when he was alive. His eyes gave off a smoky, moonlit jade. The ghost said, "What are you doing just standing there, man? Get the fuck out of your shorts. You want a piece of this great ass, don't you?" I shook my head to indicate I was not willing. "You are so full of shit." "That's what I heard the ghost say. You spend too much fucking time thinking about having what you want. You should go for what you want. Life's too short for that crap. Take it from somebody who found that out." I told the ghost, "Chuck loves you more than life itself, and if you weren't messing with his head so seriously, I'd show him intimacy what it's like to be with somebody who really cares about him." Stu's ghost, or essence, or whatever the hell you want to call it, stopped for a moment, looking down at Chuck, with a look that was totally alien to Stu's face when he was alive. Looking at Chuck hit the ghost like a lightning bolt, hooking him through his heart and his balls. The ghost felt compassion. "That's what it was." The ghost explained, "Chuck can feel me. I can make him feel me, but I can't feel him. Chuck can see me, but he's afraid to look, because of what I am now. But he can't let me go. Any more than I could leave Chuck. Don't you see that? I told you we had it bad for each other. I didn't just mean in life. For me, life without him would have been nothing. And now in death it is no different. He'll do something stupid. Chuck will kill himself. Do you want that? For God's sake, Stu, just go. You need to go back to where you came from and leave Chuck in peace. In time, somebody else will love him, take care of him, you'll see. He'll always have you in his heart. There's just no way you can stay here with him." The ghost reached out to stroke Chuck's face tenderly. Chuck moaned, his own hand grasping at the specter's and guiding it over his cheek, to his lips, where he kissed the transparent fingers. Before I could stop it, the ghost had grabbed my hand. It felt numb with an electric tingle all at once, like when your arm or leg falls asleep. He took my hand and placed my hand in one of Chuck's, clasping our hands together tightly. "There is a way," I thought or heard the ghost say to me. Chuck clutched Stu's taut biceps tightly, crying out his name as he felt the huge, pistoning cock inside him swell and explode, the molten load bursting forth and splashing his prostate, triggering his own prodigious orgasm as his cock spewed hot cream all over. Spent at last, Stu collapsed on top of Chuck. The ghost's bearded face glowing with a post-orgasmic smile of contentment. His lips closed over one of Chuck's tender nipples, kissing it softly. Chuck embraced the big man, pulling his weight and warmth even further into his own body. "You know I'm never gonna leave you," the ghost murmured to Chuck. The first light of the day streamed into the window through the open curtains. At Jack's place, where the curtains were open, on the sleeper sofa, Chuck yawned widely as he enjoyed a languorous stretch, his arms coming down to embrace the warm, solid, well-muscled form on top of him. Chuck tentatively opened his eyes. "Jack," was all Chuck had the strength to ask. I may as well have been fastened to Chuck's body with superglue for as little as he stirred. "What the hell are you doing out here on top of me? Did you? Did I? Did we?" I allowed myself to open my eyes. Chuck frowned as he stared at my face. "What's going on?" Chuck asked. He saw what could have been an optical illusion. Chuck said to me, "Your eyes. Your clear blue eyes. I thought for a second I saw your eyes change color. Your eyes. They glinted with a brilliant flash of green."
Thank you for listening to the Taboo podcast series from Vegas. You heard a narrated story called Moonlight, which was written by the late Sam Glass, who was a resident of the city of Las Vegas. He wrote using the pseudonym Don Norman. Thanks again for listening to this re-released episode from 2023 in the Taboo Podcast Vegas.